and let's do it, like it or not. All right. Cool, man.
Okay.
We'll just wing it.
Right. Ready to go.
Cool. Well, anyway, Matt, thanks for joining me from, we were talking about this earlier, Romania. You're there for a film festival. We were chatting a little bit about the films you saw there. I understand some exceptional films from the one and only Agnes Varda. So
yeah.
Thanks for chiming in from Romania.
Oh, no problem. I'm always happy to talk with you, Brian.
Very cool. You know, and the reason we get together every month like this, Matt, is for one of our favorite things to do. Well, at least it's one of my favorite things to do. I don't know about if it's one of your favorite things to do. It's to chat about the 10 albums you need to know this time around for June 2019.
Oh, I love it too, Brian. You try and stop me.
I've tried. I know. You came to me once with the 100 albums you need to know for June, and I said, you know, Matt, appreciate the enthusiasm, but...
Yeah.
No, just
it's too many.
But this is a good list this time. Yeah, this is a good list this time. We got a little bit of everything. A little bit of the avant-garde. You know, we got some world music jazz. We've got the return of a South African jazz legend. We've even got some jazz and poetry in the mix. So this is an exciting list. And Matt, what do you say we just get right to it?
I'm ready to go, Brian. Let's do it.
Very cool. The first album on my list, and I assume that's the same list for you.
I guess so, yeah.
Is by the saxophonist Sam Newsom. Okay, it's called Chaos Theory, Song Cycles for Prepared Saxophone. And it was released on the Some New Music label. That's a riff on Sam Newsom's last name, by the way, on June 3rd. Matt, what can you tell us about this album?
Well, first off, that I just got that little thing about the label. It never occurred to me, so my mind is a little bit blown right now, but anyways.
Some new music, new some. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're starting off this list with what is certainly the most challenging of all of the albums that we'll mention on this podcast. Sam Newsom is, you know, his Chaos Theory is rooted in the avant-garde tradition. And that's just a tradition that simply challenges a listener's expectations. Here on this album, he's experimenting with the solo saxophone, and it's he augments his instrument in several ways to produce, you know, sounds, noises, and these are sounds and noises that are often strange and unexpected. But if you are looking for something out of the ordinary, you can do no wrong should you choose to give this record a spin. And actually, it's nice to start off this list with this album because, you know, I like to promote adventurous listening. So to listen to something that's a little bit out of the ordinary, I mean, it's always, it can be very, very rewarding.
You know, a lot of people have heard of prepared piano, which is when a piano player will, like you say, augment the instrument with things like magnets, sticks in the strings, stuff like that. Sam Newsom is really an innovator in that he brought that approach to the soprano saxophone. A lot of people who go and watch Sam Newsom will notice that one of the things he's famous for augmenting his saxophone with is balloons. He'll attach balloons to the bell or keyholes or something like that. And there's a reason for that is because Sam Newsom, believe it or not, is an amateur balloon twister. It's a hobby for him. It helps him relax. he's been quoted as saying, you know, Miles Davis painted, I twist balloons. So just be aware of that as you listen to this album, which, as you say, Matt, is really kind of beautiful in a challenging, innovative, ingenious way. A little bit more trivia on Sam Newsom. He grew up in Virginia, which was like a hotbed of musicians, and he actually played in a garage band with fellow Virginia native and current Herbie Hancock bassist James Genus. And he even took jazz theory lessons from the saxophonist Steve Wilson while they were in high school. So he's been around for a while. He's brilliant, and this new album is just like the latest great installment into his discography. So, Matt, what do you say we go ahead and listen to a track?
Let's do it.
This is the tune Bubble Mute Boogie. All right, Matt. Very cool stuff indeed. Next album on the list. And we're staying kind of outside of the mainstream here because the next album on the list is by a jazz harpist. It's by Brandy Younger, and the name of the album is Soul Awakening. It was released on June 7th. Matt, what can you tell us about Brandy Younger's album, Soul Awakening?
Yeah, when I interviewed Brandy Younger, I think it was about a month ago, I was taken by the creativity and sense of independence that she just radiated. So that interview is out there on jazzes.com if
yes,
you're interested.
It is. Check it out.
It's just, this is just a wonderful to get an insight on Soul Awakening of her formative years, though in her conversation, she made sure to specify that she still feels like she is in her formative years. This album is a collection of never-before-released recordings that predate her earlier official LPs. And it includes, you know, musicians like Ravi Coltrane, Chris Beck, and E.J. Strickland, just to name a few there. But not to mention that what is fascinating about Younger is, as you mentioned, that she is a harpist. So it's exciting to finally feature this instrument on a 10 albums you need to know about list, though... As we'll see later, spoiler alert, it's actually not the only time that we will see this magical instrument grace our June list.
This is correct. It was a good month for the jazz harp, I guess. But you are so right, Matt. You know, Brandy is a huge presence on the New York harp scene, both jazz and classical. And as you mentioned, she collaborates on this album with Ravi Coltrane, who is, of course, John Coltrane's son. And John Coltrane was hugely instrumental in bringing the harp into jazz, you know, through his work with his wife, Alice Coltrane. So it's very, very cool to hear a talented jazz harpist on the level of Brandy Younger kind of perform with yet another Coltrane. It's kind of transporting in a sense. It's a very cool album. Let's go ahead and listen to a track. This is the tune Love's Prayer featuring Ravi Coltrane. Stuff there from Brandy Younger. That's the album Soul Awakening, released on June 7th. Up next, we'll take things in a slightly different direction. We've got a new album by the tenor saxophonist David Sanchez. The album is called Carib. I think that's how you say it.
Yeah, I think
it was released on Ropadope Records on June 7th.
Yeah, for those who, like me, possibly, you know, like most people listening to this podcast, believe that music and jazz is particularly fueled by the interaction between various different cultures, a project like Carib, hopefully that is how you say it, can only come as incredibly exciting. Carib is just, it's a new ensemble led by a saxophone Grammy winning artist, David Sanchez, who blends the traditional music of his native Puerto Rico and Haiti and West African drums and jazz using a modern context. You know, he also wrote all the songs in this new album, which still, you know, presents elements of his previous projects that may be familiar to the fans, but they're updated, they're fresh, they just seem invigorated, and it's a fascinating new project from a fascinating artist.
It really is. And, you know, David Sanchez is a familiar face for a lot of people through his work in the SF Jazz Collective. He's been a longtime member there, and he plays a lot in the Bay Area. But he really hit the ground running when he kind of arrived on the scene in the late 80s, early 90s. Got his start with Dizzy Gillespie's band, touring with the vocalist Miriam Makeba. And, he's one of my favorite tenor players. He has a really kind of strong, muscular style, but at the same time, very flexible, very smooth. Kareeb is an awesome album. And if you like the album and this style of music, another good port of entry into David's music is a project he did with the trumpeter Christian Scott called the 90 Miles Project. And it was a documentary film and an album that they recorded in Havana, Cuba, just featuring the city's best musicians and, of course, Christian Scott and David Sanchez. It's a really cool album, and it's kind of a nice companion to David's latest, Kareeb. That said, let's go ahead and listen to a track from Kareeb. This is the tune Madriga. So yeah, some very happening stuff there from saxophonist David Sanchez. That's a cut off his latest album, Kareeb, released on the Ropadope label on June 7th. Matt, up next, we have a new album from a piano master. It's Fred Hirsch and the WDR Big Band, which is conducted by Vince Mendoza. The new album is called Begin Again, and it was released on the Palmetto label on June 7th. Matt, what's up with this album?
Well, first of all, Begin Again, this Begin Again, is not to be mistaken with Norah Jones' album that was recently released of the same name. So that's a first.
A good disclaimer there, yes.
But Fred Hirsch is one of the most celebrated jazz composers today, and it's great to hear some of the works he's composed over the years get a WDR big band treatment. You know, this is a highly acclaimed Grammy-winning 17-piece ensemble, and under the direction of Vince Mendoza. Now, Vince Mendoza actually also arranged the music, and you know, the band really steps up to the challenge of giving this exciting selection of Hirsch works singular readings. By the way, Hirsch fans will also be excited to know that Begin Again also features one previously unrecorded piece titled Song Without Words Number 2 Ballad, which he defined as the closest he's ever come to writing a standard ballad. So that's pretty cool.
It is really cool. And you're right. You know, this album is kind of a career retrospective. And of course, Fred Hirsch is renowned for his solo work and his trio work. So it's really cool to kind of hear his compositions fleshed out with the full orchestra. And for those unfamiliar, the WDR Big Band is one of the best big bands in Europe. It stands for the, I'm going to butcher this pronunciation, the Westdeutscher Rundfunk.
That's pretty good.
Thank you.
I don't really speak that language.
But it sounds good to someone.
It sounds good.
Thank you. The Rundfunk literally means broadcast in German. And so it's a radio band. It's the equivalent of, you know, like we used to have the NBC orchestra or the ABC or CBS orchestras here in the States. And, you know, as far as radio bands go, it is really second to none. All around a very, very cool project. Matt, what say you? We go and listen to a track. This is the title track. This is Begin Again. Okay, very nice stuff there. Again, that was Fred Hirsch and the WDR Big Band, which is led by Vince Mendoza. The name of the album is Begin Again, and it was released on Palmetto Records on June 7th. Okay, Matt, next on our list is Jazz's favorite. It's a new album by the pianist and vocalist Jamie Cullum. This new album is called Taller, and it was released on Blue Note Records, at least it was here in the States, on June 7th. Matt, take it away.
Yeah, this is interesting because, you know, it comes 5 years after Interlude, which was an album of standards and covers. But here on Taller, Cullum puts his songwriting front and center. So this new album finds him really unafraid to explore and share intimate aspects of his own life and even some of his own personal takes on the world around him, including references and digs at the current political situation of his native United Kingdom, which people might be familiar with at the moment. I find that Cullum here is just at his most raw and intimate, more so than he has been in a while, and arguably more so than ever, completely dedicated to releasing something that has the mark of his personal style of songwriting. And he's also, you know, refusing to sort of be restricted or restrained by considerations of styles and genres. And I think that works in Taller's favor, especially as far as the original vision of the album is concerned, which is just his own songwriting.
You are so right, Matt. You know, in fact, I actually talked to Jamie Cullum about the making of this album, and that interview will be the topic of our upcoming Jazz's Backstage Pass podcast. So be sure to subscribe so that it arrives in your inbox. And it definitely has a fascinating backstory. You know, he went into the project, as you mentioned, 5 years after his last album, and he was writing songs that, for whatever reason, just weren't clicking with him. So he scrapped the project and he started again. He started to just keep it personal, to write what he knew and about what was going on in the moment. And what emerged was this this album, Taller, that deals with some very personal themes. The title track, I should mention, is kind of a riff on the fact that Cullum is only 5 foot five, but his wife, Sophia Dahl, who is actually the granddaughter of the author Roald Dahl, is 6 feet tall. And so the title track is kind of a play on that. It has the lyrics, "I wish I were taller," which for me as a 5 foot seven guy, I can definitely identify with. But speaking to Jamie, you know, he kind of revealed that the lyrics obviously are about much more than that. It's about kind of being there and present emotionally for your significant other, offering, you know, full support and open arms and encouragement and all that stuff. And that's what he means in the sense of, you know, being taller and wanting to stand next to someone. So it's a really cool album. It has almost the freshness and energy of a debut album. That's how different it is from his other material. And I've been spinning it a lot around the house, and it's going to be cool to share it with the rest of you. So let's go ahead and listen to a track from Taller. This is the title track. This is Taller. Glorious, so I don't measure up. I was sober and furious, weighing all my life. So hand me a rope, will I climb, will I choke till I make the stars alive? I wish I was love that new direction from Jamie Cullum there. We'll follow it up with the next album on our list, Matt. And this one is by the bassist Ron Carter and poet Danny Simmons. It's called The Brown Beatnik Tomes, Live at Brick House. And that was also released on Blue Note on June 7th.
Yeah, there's a huge tradition of jazz and poetry that is often talked about. And the release of the Brown Beatnik Tomes goes to show that this is a tradition that is alive and well. So this album is really a live recording of a special event that took place at Brooklyn's Brick House. It was an event of jazz and poetry that revolved around the collaboration of poet Danny Simmons, who's, you know, he's an Emmy Award winning artist and, you know, just a fascinating figure in his own right, and bass legend Ron Carter, who really needs no introduction. So it's worth noting that this album is only one of the, as I say, incarnations of the Brown Beatnik Tomes project that has been created by Simmons. And it's a concept that started as a book and became an event, and now and is, of course, now an album for all to enjoy and to be really taken by. And it just matches hotly read poetry with music.
Yep, you got it. And you, like you said, Ron Carter needs no introduction. I mean, the most recorded jazz bassist in history, appearing on over 2,000 recordings. And Danny Simmons, even if you, you know, haven't heard of him directly, the name might ring familiar because he's the brother to, you know, hip hop mogul Russell Simmons and to Run DMC rapper Joseph Simmons, aka Rev Run. And he actually conceived of and co-produced the Deaf Poetry series on HBO, which of course helped turn spoken word poetry into a worldwide phenomenon. So these are two heavyweights coming together to unite jazz and poetry. It's an excellent project. Matt, let's go ahead and listen to a track. This is a poem called For a Pistol.
A poet is a pistol with an extended clip, bussing off rounds into the head of America. And brains ooze on streets where children once played that are now the dog runs for bleeding rich history and heresy. A merry hollow point baraka will bust a cap in your ass on Nostrand and Fulton and make you get religion and revolution up in here.
Very cool stuff there from Ron Carter and Danny Simmons. That's the Brown Beatnik Tomes, live at Brick House, released on Blue Note on June 7th. Up next, we have a new album from the Anat Cohen Tentet. The album is called Triple Helix. It was released on Anzik Records on June 14th. Take it away, Matt.
Yep, this tentet led by clarinet virtuoso Anat Cohen, probably one of the most adventurous and exciting ensembles around today. And on this album, they get even more ambitious. So, I think they released their debut album in 2017. So they have been around for long, but it really feels like, you know, they keep getting more and more ambitious. So Triple Helix is driven by a title three-piece concerto written by Cohen's longtime collaborator, Oded Lev-Ari. I hope that's how you pronounce it. And he's also the group's musical director. And he really has a great understanding of the chemistry of this ensemble and just the various elements that make them so fascinating and exciting as individual musicians and just as part of this, of the group. But that's just part of the LP. That, you know, it also includes compositions and arrangements by Cohen and Lev-Ari. Actually, one of them that really I really enjoyed listening to was an arrangement by Anat Cohen of Astor Piazzolla's, ooh, here we go, Milonga del Angel. I think that's the right pronunciation.
Nice. And it, nailed it.
Right, it's like your WDR the pronunciation of that, right?
And we do our best, folks. Yeah, we do our best.
And that's just one of the points where it just clearly shows that this is not just a fascinating reading record, but also marks an evolution in the Tentet sound.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. You know, we've been following Anat Cohen's work for a while now, and it's always great to hear it, you know, blown up to scale with the Tentet. Anat has done a lot in the past with Brazilian music, specifically coro, and she really draws influence from every corner of the globe. So you'll find all sorts of influences here, from Latin American to Middle Eastern, American jazz. It is a fascinating album, and another great contribution from Anat Cohen. So let's go ahead and listen to a track. As a matter of fact, this is the track that we tried to pronounce earlier. This is Milonga del Angelo. Okay, great stuff from Anat Cohen and her Tentet. Again, the name of the album is Triple Helix. It was released June 14th on the Anzik label. All right, Matt, we've come to our next harp album. And actually, it's two harps for the price of one. It's by Edmar Castañeda and Gregoire Marais. And the album is called A Harp vs. Harp. It was released on June 14th on the ACT label.
Yeah. I mean, there's a reason why we haven't really talked about it. It's interesting, by the way, that we have two albums with the harp, you know, featuring the harp front and center. Yeah, it's fascinating. Well, there is a reason why that is. And that's because, quite simply, the harp is just a difficult instrument to play in jazz. Which is why it's not the most explored instrument in jazz. But yeah, I mean, Gregoire Marais, is that how you pronounce it, Brian?
That is it.
Gregoire? Okay. Gregoire Marais, you know, one half a duo with Edmar Castañeda. Yeah, they have such great chemistry, you know, between the two artists also have lots of great mutual interests, and they really explore them. You know, you find it in the themes of this album, like the theme of religion. There's also their shared love of Brazilian music and, of course, jazz. And it just provides all of this provides a great strong backing for their fearless and expressive musical explorations on harp versus harp.
Yeah, exactly.
On which they showcase their strong sort of musical affinity, and they just continue to innovate and redefine the roles of their instruments. You know, they're two musicians that have a history of rewriting the rule books of their instruments. So it's fantastic stuff.
Totally. And some people might be wondering, you know, why is this album called Harp vs. Harp? Well, for Edmar Castañeda, that's an easy case. He is a harp player. He plays a version of the harp called the Colombian harp, though, which is a little bit smaller than the traditional harp. And a lot of people know Gregoire Marais as a harmonica player. He's a fantastic harmonica player. Well, the harmonica goes by many names, among them being the French harp or the mouth harp. And the mouth harp is still a term you hear used in blues circles. You know, every time you hear a blues harmonica player, they often call their instrument the harp. Hence the name harp versus harp. These are two instruments, again, you don't hear that much traditionally in jazz. But these guys can make them swing. You ever hear bebop on a harp, you know, or jazz fusion on a harmonica? It's the coolest thing ever. And these two musicians are just two shiny examples of how jazz has reached into new places, new genres, you know, and instruments. So a fascinating listen. Let's go ahead and listen to a track. This is the tune Bluesarino. All right, Matt, we're getting near the end here. Got two more albums for you, and we really did save the best for last. This penultimate I always feel pretentious when I use that word. But this second to last album is by Philip Bailey. Okay, Philip Bailey, former vocalist, frontman for Earth, Wind, and Fire. It's called Love Will Find a Way. It was released on, will be released June 21st on the Verve Universal Music label. So what can you tell us about this album, Matt?
I was just going to say, who doesn't love Earth, Wind, and Fire? You know, Brian, what do you think?
I've never met anyone who doesn't love Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Exactly,
and that's a lot of double negatives, but another way of saying everybody loves Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Everybody loves Earth, Wind, and Fire, right? I'm always happy to hear, and I'm always happy to hear anything new by Philip Bailey. You know, the unmistakable falsetto voice of that legendary band. Well, I was particularly excited to find that Love Will Find a Way is not only like a continuation of the band's, you know, genre-defying spirit and Bailey's genre-defying spirit, but it also features some of the biggest names of jazz ever. You know, not just jazz, you know, you got R&B pop in there, you know, you got people like Chick Corea, Kamasi Washington, Christian McBride, Robert Glasper, so, and the list goes on and on. You know, you've got, you know, Will.i.am is in there. You know, just some great artists coming together on this new album, and the present is some of the biggest names in jazz and music today, or you know, jazz legends and so on. It just enriches the blend of tradition and modernity that this album really, really represents. And it's just another reason to get really, really excited about this new Philip Bailey album.
Yeah, you're so right. I mean, a ton of star power on this album, but that's, you know, only to match the star power that is Philip Bailey. You know, he was invited to join Earth, Wind, and Fire in 1972, handpicked by the one and only Maurice White. You know, as he went into his solo career, this album doesn't mark the first time he's collaborated with jazz artists. In 1999, he released the album Dreams, which featured Grover Washington Jr. and Pat Metheny and a handful of other jazz heavyweights. And he came out with another album in 2002 called Soul on Jazz. But for this album, he was really kind of inspired by this new movement of R&B-minded, hip-hop-listening, electronics-using jazz artists like Robert Glasper that you mentioned, like Kamasi Washington. And he was just impressed with the way they were building a bridge from jazz to R&B and hip-hop and electronic music. So he reached out to Glasper to collaborate on this album and decided to build a bridge back the other way and kind of meet in the middle. It's an awesome album, and it's so cool to hear Philip Bailey back in my headphones. You know, that falsetto is unmistakable, and yeah, very exciting album. So Matt, let's go ahead and take a listen to a track. This is the lead single, Billy Jack.
Just had a Monday, run into a friend
Bailey doing it as only he can. Name of the album is Love Will Find a Way. It will be released June 21st on Verve Universal Music. Which brings us, Matt, to the final album on our list. And we've selected a very special one here. It's by the South African piano legend, and we are talking legend, Abdullah Ibrahim. The name of the album is The Balance. It will be released on Gearbox Records on June 29th. Mm. What can you tell us about this album, Matt?
Well, you know, there's so much to say about Abdullah Ibrahim. It's just, he's a fascinating musician, a fascinating artist, a fascinating man. you know, speaking of his music, I've never been to South Africa, but, you know, his music I just associated with what I do know about the country and what I don't know about the country. You know, to me, it's the music of the port areas of Cape Town. You know, it's the music, you know, you can hear the traditional sounds of Africa, you know, the gospel of AME Church, but also just influences from the history of jazz music. You know, I hear a lot of, for example, Ellington or Monk, you know, in the way that he plays, and just an appreciation for that music as well as the music of his country. So it's just amazing to hear that he has no intention of slowing down. And the Balance, you know, it's his first LP in 5 years. And yeah, it finds him still, I think he says that he, you know, this with this album, he's pushing himself out of his comfort zone. And he does that alongside a septet, Ikaya. I think that's what how you pronounce it. And that's a word that translates as translates to home. And that's a band that he's also been leading for since 1983. So it's amazing to see one of the greats still with us and still going strong.
Still going strong, absolutely. And being honored and respected for his work now more than ever. Just this year, 2019, he was rewarded an NEA Jazzmaster Fellowship. So we were all very excited to hear that. And yeah, you mentioned the band Ikaya, and I just want to kind of shout out the members of that group because they're all also amazing musicians. It's got Cleve Guyton Jr. on alto saxophone, Lance Bryant on tenor saxophone, Andre Murchison on trombone, Marshall McDonald on baritone saxophone, Noah Jackson on cello, which adds a nice texture to the mix, Alec Dankworth on bass, and Will Terrell on drums. So, yeah, again, very happy to see that Abdullah Ibrahim is still making, you know, phenomenal music, still going strong, and can't wait to share it with you guys. Let's listen to a track. This is Jabula. So yeah, that was the latest from pianist Abdullah Ibrahim. That's a cut from his new album, The Balance, released on Gearbox Records on June 29th. And Matt, you know, I said that was our final album, but I lied. I lied because as a digital exclusive, no. As an online, yes, I did. I'm capable of it. Like when I told you your haircut looked good last week, I'm just kidding. Your haircut always looks good.
Oh, that's my hair never looks good. I try to wash it as little as possible too. It's part of the style.
Hey, that's exactly. I'm going to say that's the trend. That's the look, man. Anyways, we've got a podcast exclusive. We're going to turn it up all the way to 11, just like our friends in Spinal Tap. Our 11th album you need to know for the month of June 2019. Is the latest from the one and only Chick Corea. That's right. He's got a new album called Antidote, and it will be released on Concord Records on June 28th. This finds Chick Corea in the flamenco mode. Anyone who's followed Chick Corea over the years knows that he has a huge interest in flamenco music. And here on his latest album, he dives headfirst and deep into the music, into flamenco music. We couldn't include this in our text version of the 10 albums roundup because it wasn't announced at that point. So we are very, very happy to include it here as an online podcast exclusive. We'll get to hear a little excerpt from Chick Corea's new album, Antidote. Let's take a listen to a track. Once again, this is Chick Corea and the Spanish Heart Band. The tune is The Yellow Nimbus, Part 2. Yeah, always, as always, fascinating stuff from Chick Corea. And that does it for us this month.
Let's go on. Let's do another surprise album.
I wish
Justin
we could,
Bieber
man.
Is out with a new album.
is he?
I don't know. Probably.
It's a jazz album, yes. And it's
how cool would it be? How cool would it be if Justin Bieber released a jazz album? That would be, you know,
just of all Frank Sinatra covers. Wow. Yeah. Well, you know what? I peruse the Billboard charts occasionally, and there are currently two Frank Sinatra tributes in the top 20. One by the country artist Trisha Yearwood, and another by Willie Nelson. So Willie Nelson has been known to dip his toes in the jazz pool, and he's quite good. You know, his collaborations with Wynton Marsalis were pretty good. So you never know. Justin Bieber, if you're out there, if you're listening, maybe it's time to drop your jazz album once and for all. Give us a call.
Ryan, I have no doubt that Justin Bieber is listening to this podcast. He looks forward to it,
too. He's our biggest fan. Yeah, he writes us all the time.
Yeah.
On iTunes. And
hi, Justin.
If you're listening, right. Hi, Justin. Anyway, Matt, yeah, that does it for us. Another episode in the books. If you like what you hear, everyone, you're going to love what you can read on our website and in our quarterly print edition, the summer issue featuring an exclusive interview with George Benson is just about to hit newsstands. So check out your nearest bookstore for that or subscribe online. Visit us online and click that big red subscribe button in the upper left-hand corner. A lot of options for you there. If you got a digital-only subscription, you can get the digital plus a print magazine subscription, and then you could go for the whole kit and caboodle. That's our legacy subscription, which features digital access, a print magazine, and 8 sampler CDs to add to your collection. And yeah, that's it for me, Matt. You have anything to add?
I'll think about it and I'll let you know.
Okay. Coming up in our next episode, again, is that interview with Jamie Cullum. So stay tuned for that. All righty, Matt. That'll do it for me.
Thank you very much. Thanks for listening, guys. Hey.
Yeah, thanks a lot, everyone. We'll see you next time for Jazz Is
Backstage
Pass.
See you real soon.
See you real soon. God, we got to work on wrapping
these
things.
See you real soon, guys.
All right, everybody, and that does it for another episode of Jazz's Backstage Pass. Once again, I'm your host, Brian Zimmerman, and I was joined this week by Jazz's online editor, Matt Micucci. I'd like to take a minute to thank this episode's sponsors. They include Smoke Sessions Records. The label has just released a new record by drum legend Al Foster. It's called Inspirations and Dedications. Check it out online at smokesessionsrecords.com. Thanks also to Blue Note Records. To check out the albums that we mentioned in this week's podcast, along with so many others, visit bluenote.com. And thanks also to ECM Records, which this year celebrates its 50th anniversary. They've got a new concert recording of Keith Jarrett playing solo Bach from 1987. To learn more about that album and all the other great stuff coming out on ECM, visit ecmrecords.com. Another big thanks to the online streaming service Deezer. We regularly curate playlists on this platform. To check out our latest playlist, which features the best guitar shredders in jazz, visit Deezer.com and search for Jazz Is. Our playlists also appear on KoBuzz, another one of our sponsors. This is a high-res streaming service that is the premier destination for audiophiles looking to stream music online. Visit KoBuzz.com to learn more. That's KOBUZ.com. Thanks also to the New Jersey Performing Arts Center in Newark, New Jersey. On the calendar for them in November, a performance by Chaka Khan. It's taking place November 14th. For tickets and more info, visit njpac.org. That's njpac.org. Lastly, we'd like to thank the U.S. Navy Band Commodores Jazz Ensemble, currently celebrating its 50th anniversary. They've got concert dates around the country. If you want to catch them in action, visit our website and click the Navy Band Commodores banner. And as always, our theme music comes from the pianist Emmett Cohen. He's making things happen at emmettcohen.com. That'll do it for me, everyone. I hope to see you next time on Jazz's Backstage Pass.